Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Hei, 35. This perek is a continuation of the theme of Geula, and about the time when the enemies of the Jewish nation will be brought down, and the Jewish nation will flourish. Yesusum Midbar Vitziya, Vitagel Arava. The Midbar, representing the desert, representing Yerushalayim and Sion, based on how it was during the time of exile, will now rejoice, presumably because of the downfall of the enemies that were mentioned in the Perek before. And it will be a place now where the people in it will rejoice and sing, and the land will be full of vegetation as a reflection of the Geula and Simcha of the people. So the Midbar and the Arava both represent Yerushalayim. V'tifrach kechavatzelet. This former desert will bloom and be beautiful with flowers growing and lots of newness and renewal. This blooming continues into Pasuk Bet with the words paroach tifrach v'tagel. The Arava is going to become like a forest in terms of the amount and the density of what will grow there. And it's compared to the Levanon in specific because of what the Levanon represents. We know that the Levanon forest indicates the strength of the nation, like the strong cedar trees, and also refers very often to the Beis HaMikdash itself, either due to the cedar wood that came from the Levanon to build the building, or the word Levanon from the root lavan, white, since the Beis HaMikdash is the place designated to cleanse our sins and turn them from the symbolic color of red, of sin and guilt, to the color of white, representing purity. So there's where the Lavan comes from. And mentioning the Levanon might simply be referencing, as the Abarbanel says, the fact that there will now be the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We're also told that the Midbar will be like the Carmel, which is known for its fields with lots of produce and vineyards, and like the Sharon, which is the fertile area by the shore. Kavod Hashem is going to be revealed in the Midbar and Arava, just like it was in the Midbar when the Jews left Mitzrayim and when they arrived at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. So the Midbar, just like it was a place of significance and of miracles at the time of leaving Egypt and of the giving of the Torah, is also now going to be a place, again, where Hashem is going to be revealed. And in this way, we can see how there's a linking of the redemption in the past from the hands of Egypt to the redemption now in the hand by, through, and because of, or from the nation of Edom. The Navi is told in Pasuk Gimel to strengthen the weak people among the nation in Gola. Chizku yadayim rafot. The galut weakened them. Their hands are weak. Their hands were helpless. And now they need encouragement. Similar to the phrase we see often in Tanakh, chazak ve'ematz. Pasuk Dalet, imru l'nimharei lev chizku al tira'u. Speak to the nimharei lev and encourage them. What do the words nimharei lev refer to? Could be from the word maher, referring to people who are nervous and their heart beats quickly, bimhirut. Or it could mean those people who want to hurry, again the word maher, hurry the geula along and have been disheartened at the fact that it has been delayed and taken so long. Tell these people not to fear. Hine. When we say the word hine, it's pointing to something. Hashem is now coming to avenge your enemies. You didn't believe a miracle like this could ever happen, but it's about to happen. It is visible. And that we get from the word hine. The words nakam yavo, Hashem will avenge the enemies and save you. Pasuk Hei talks about those who will return from the Gola, from exile. Nothing is going to get in the way of their return. Blind people will see, deaf people will hear. Everyone will be able to take it all in. This could be referring to the fact that the Jewish nation in Galut sustained injuries that will now be healed at the time of the Geula, or this could be talking more figuratively about people that when they were in Galut were blind to the troubles they endured and the fact that their troubles were supposed to lead them to a place of tshuva, but it didn't really happen. They didn't pick up on it. But now everyone is going to see Hashem and listen and be open to the words and messages of the Nevi'im. And continuing, as yidaleg ka'ayal pisayach, the one who is a pisayach, who is lame, is now going to leap like an ayal, like a deer, over any obstacles on the path, so that there will be nothing standing in the way from returning. The idea of leaping like an ayal also represent dancing because of the salvation on the return to Yerushalayim, so that the way to Yerushalayim is going to be joyous. And the ones who were mute and didn't speak now will sing praises to Hashem through their mouths. We can also understand this as that the one who was lame was one who was maybe not motivated to follow Hashem's words and do the mitzvot. And the one who was figuratively mute did not praise Hashem and will now sing songs of praise. So that could be the transformation that's taking place at this time. We're told things are going to be the opposite of the way they were before, as we see like in the second half of Pasuk Vav. Ki nivku'u bamidbar mayim unechalim ba'arava. In places that were the midbar and arava, there will now be natural water. Normally there is no water there, but now water will be discovered. So we're seeing a reverse of the normal reality that's going to take place during the time of the Geula. These words also once again allude to the redemption from Mitzrayim and the miracles that took place for the people of that generation. For we remember in Sefer Shmot and also in Bamidbar that we did see water coming out of rocks in the desert to give the nation water to drink. And this water can be, again, symbolically the Mei Yeshua, the waters of salvation and redemption. The dry places, the Sharav mentioned in Pasuk Zayin, will now become an Agam, a lake. Metaphorically talking about that people who were thirsty for salvation will now be saved and will now get the water they need. Pasuk Chet tells us, V'hayasham maslul v'derech, v'derech hakodesh yikarela. There will be an easy path to walk on back to Yerushalayim, and it is Kodesh, because it leads to a Kadosh place. Lo yikravenu tameh. Nobody impure will go or be allowed on this derech, which could be representing the fact that no enemies will be allowed and to overtake us. They won't be allowed to reach us. People will have to also prepare themselves to re-enter Israel and attain purity. And no one will mess up on this path. It is yashar. It will go straight to the destination. Pasuk Tet informs us also that no lions or chayot ra'ot will be on this path. Even the usual natural dangers will be cleared for us so that we can reach Israel safely. Rashi understands these animals, in particular the Aryeh, the lion, as representing the enemy leaders. We actually saw this back with the lion in Perek Chaf Aleph, the first Perek we learned together. The halchu geulim, we will be free, we will be redeemed, we will be free from anything that could potentially harm us on the way. The last pasuk from this perek describes kibbutz galiot, the ingathering of the exiles. Uf duye Hashem yishuvun. Lots of songs about this pasuk. If you do a quick Google search and look on Spotify, you'll see lots of tunes. The people Hashem are redeeming from their subjugation will come to Tzion singing out of happiness. This is unlike when they returned from Bavel. And Ezra and Nehemiah, in their Sfarim, described Vitzarot and the anguish, the Yagon and Anacha, the sighing that people experience upon their return, because it wasn't so smooth and everything wasn't necessarily the ideal for them when they did. And many people we know didn't even return then. This time, there will be Simchas Olam al Rosham. There will be Simcha on their heads, Simcha, like what they experienced before when they left Mitzrayim. And the simcha will be there on their heads. They will be standing tall, not bent over in shame as they were upon leaving and going into exile, but walking now with their heads raised up. And they will be successful in all they do, and Yagon and Anacha will run away from them. Instead of them running away from their enemies, now we're told that the sadness will run from them, and the sason and simcha yasigu will catch up with them. As opposed to beforehand when the enemy caught up with them, now we're told that the sason and simcha are what will catch up with them at the time of the geula. When it came to the time of the Shivat Zion, returning after the Babylonian exile, many people ruined it by not returning, and the geula was not complete in the days of Bayit Sheni. And we know that that was not the final stage in our national redemption. Our present-day Galut is much longer than Galut Bavel was, and we can understand that these psukim are describing what the future Geula will look like and the permanence that will follow. This is a beautiful ending to many of the earlier prakim that discussed the fear and devastation that will befall the Jewish nation. As the following perek transitions to retelling the historical story of King Chizkiyahu and the conflict with Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, I wanted to reflect for a moment on some of the common themes that had been seen throughout the Nevuot we have learned together thus far. There have been several references to people heading into Galut because of not seeing, hearing, and understanding the words of rebuke and calls for tshuva that the Navi was trying to communicate. And the Geula is described as a time when people's auditory and visual senses will be heightened and awakened. Leaders are criticized often for misleading the people to have false hope. There are several descriptions of the land being desolate during the times of subjugation to the enemy and during the siege. And then descriptions of the rebirth and upgrade of the land, the Levanon, the Carmel, the Sharon, specifically mentioned many times, that will happen at the time of the Geula. There was a focus on character and values, on the merits and benefits of doing tzedakah, tzedek, and mishpat, and having fear and trust in Hashem instead of the enemy and foreign nations. And many times, the contrast between the misplaced arrogance and haughtiness of the enemies and the enemy nations versus the greatness of Hashem, and how those enemies, those nations, will be brought down and shamefully defeated by Hashem. Enemies are taught lessons by getting what they deserve, with many examples of midah keneged midah, measure for measure. In regards to those enemy nations mentioned by name, Egypt comes up many times as both a focus of the present-day flawed diplomatic relations with them, as well as when the Navi recalls the past redemption in anticipation of an even greater future one. Ashur is mentioned as the arrogant enemy of the time that will be defeated and will not be able to overtake Yerushalayim. And Edom is referenced as the final nation that will be defeated upon the arrival of Melech HaMashiach. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.